Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Kachel and we're now on Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Pei Amud Bet, at the bottom of the Amud, about to study, and this podcast will be devoted to, the 10 conditions that Yehoshua ben Nun established with the tribes when settling the land. Tan Rabbana, Saratana in Hidna Yehoshua. We're now on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Shumarin Bachorshin, number one is that people be allowed to graze in forested areas and the owners have to let them. Umalaktin etzim misdotehem, you're allowed to collect wood from people's fields. We'll see what kind of wood. Umalaktim asavim b'chol makom chutz mitotan, count, that's number three. You can collect grass or weeds from any place to use to feed your animals, except for a fenugreek field. V'kotmim netiot b'chol makom, you're allowed to pluck shoots off of trees from anywhere, chutz migrofiot shel zayit, except for stumps of olive trees. Umayan hayotzei b'tchila b'nei ha'ir mistapkinu menu, a spring that has been there or even that emerges anew in somebody's field, all the members of the city are allowed to use it. Umachakin b'yama shel tveria, you're allowed to set up a fishing apparatus, like an angle, inside the kinneret. Uvad shel efros kela, as long as you don't set up a sail, which is going to interfere with boats and with their navigating. You're allowed to go behind somebody's wall and use it as a pravi, as a bathroom, even in a saffron field where the stuff is very sensitive. You're allowed to walk in people's private paths as a shortcut until the second rain comes, which, according to the Mishnah in Ta'anit, is the middle of Mar Cheshvan. Umistalkin, the idea is that once that happens, then it already hurts the field to be trampling it. Umistalkin, let's see, drachim, mnei yitidot drachim. If the dirt has piled up in the public area so that there are these sort of clods of dirt or piles of dirt that make it hard to walk, you're allowed to walk to the side of the road, even though it's on private property, to go around it. This is number 10, that somebody who's lost somewhere in vineyards is allowed to cut vines in order to find his way out. Number 11 is make mitzvah, so we'll later address the issue of why we say there's 10 tanaim and then we count 11. Meit mitzvah konei makomo is something we dealt with at length in Masechet Nazir, that a meit mitzvah, somebody who dies and is found by the side of the road, acquires that place and is buried there, and Kiviyachol owns that place. All right, let's go over them. Shiu marin b'chorshein, the first one is to be allowed to graze in the forested areas. Amar papa lomran ela daka begasa. That's only light animals, as it were, behema daka, in a thickly wooded field. Aval daka b'daka, if it's a thinly wooded field, a gasa b'gasa, or cattle anywhere low, because they really finish off the field. In other words, if it's owned by someone, you need his permission. V'chol shekein gasa b'daka d'lo, and certainly to take cattle into a lightly forested area, certainly not, because they'll clean it out. Umalaktin etzim misdotem, that was number two. Amran ela behizmi behigi, all we mean is low bushes. Avashari etzim low, not other trees. V'afilu behizmi behigi, amran ela b'chumarin, it's only if they're in the ground. Meaning, if the fellow has uprooted it, he may be interested in coming back to collect it for some other reason. V'tlushin low. V'afilu b'chumarin, even in the ground, amran ela b'lach, it's only if they're slightly moist. V'yishim low, if they're absolutely dry, then no, because the owner is going to probably use it as kindling. Even in that case, you can't uproot it. You can only take the twigs. Number three was collecting grass everywhere. So the member of Tiltan Malu Lasavim, it sounds like grass is good for fenugreek. Or Minhi, we have the following challenge from the laws of Kilaim. Tiltan Shalta Imine Asavim, if this fenugreek grows with different kinds of grass, you don't have to uproot it, because the stuff is so bad for it that he's going to take it out anyways. So he explains the differences, whether it's being used for seed or for the pods. Lazera kashula savim. For if you're growing it for seeds, then the grass is bad for it. And indeed, in that case, not kilaim because of what we said. Because they weaken the fenugreek. Lazirin, but for pods, malula, they're good. Why do chikaimi beni asavim mirkava? When there's grass around it, it softens the pods and makes them more accessible for eating. Now, ibaiteima, there's another answer. Kam ladam, kam mehima. In other words, for people, grass is not good around these things. For animals, it is. Why? If you planted it for animals, asavim namun ba'ile. You also need grass because they're going to eat that. Umanayadin, and how can you see in a particular field? Because we're wondering whether or not you could pick grass from there. How can we see if it was planted for Adam or for Behema? Or Papa, Shari Mishare la Adam, Lo Shari Mishare la Behema. If they planted them in nice beds, then that's for Adam. If not, then it's an animal. All right, the next one was Kotmin Tiyah v'chol makom. This is number four. You're allowed to take a shoot from a tree. Chutzen go for Yerchel Zayt. Perish of Tanchum v'Rav Baryas Mishum Zaken Echad. So they give the following explanation. B'zayit kebeitza. Now what this means is that if you have an olive tree, there has to be at least a kebeitza left on it. You can't take that last bit. But kanim uvikfanim, when it comes to vines and shoots, you can take anything from the knuckle on. In other words, the vine has knots in it. From the last knot on, you could take. Ushar kol ilanot, what about other trees? Min ubosh lilan, only from the outside, velo min chudosh lilan, not from the central part, from the outlying branches. Now, min chadash enosa perot, only from a new tree that hasn't yet borne fruit, velo min yashan shosa perot, not an old tree that's already got fruit going. Makom shenoro atachama, and also only from the side that is not facing the sun, velo min makom shuro atachama. Why shenemar umimeged tvoot shamish? So this bracha given to Yosef is the indication that trees that face the sun are more productive, and therefore that side you can't take from. All right, the next one is that they're allowed to, that the members of the city have rights to the spring, even if it's a one person's property. Rav Huna, he said, yeah, but you have to pay him. But that's not true, and you don't have to pay. It's everybody's right. That you're allowed to set up fishing apparatus. But you are allowed to set up all sorts of nets and everything else in the sea. Now, this is part of the conditions Yeshua set up on settling the land, what I call the land management laws. Tanu Rabbanan, Brishana, hitnu shvatim ze'im ze'a, shalo yifros kliya v'yamidit hasfina. So we get a little bit of history. Originally, the condition was that they agreed that they weren't going to set up sails inside the sea, sort of a fishing apparatus with a sail on top that would get in the way of the boat. But you could set up traps, right? And then they changed it to allow this is the original condition. So we say that the sea was at Naphtali's portion. That he actually had some area that was in the south of the sea. On the land, so the way that they're interpreting the verse is that this is the bracha given to Naphtali, that he inherits the sea and south of it. Things that are uprooted, that are up in the mountains. There is a notion here that all of the tribes had holdings in the mountains. So one of the conditions they made is anything that's uprooted, anything that falls off the tree, that's in any of the mountains, belongs equally to everybody. Anything that's in the ground belongs to whatever shevet has that territory. Every tribe had mountain area and plain area and desert area and valley area. This is when they're about to turn to make the move to Israel after the waiting in Kadesh Barnea. It's Moshe retelling about this beginning of the last travel. It says, Hashem said, it's time to turn and go to Har HaMori and all of the neighbors. So the idea is that all of the neighbors had this. All the nations that were there before, each of them had some mountains, some valley, etc. So you see that the neighbors also had the same thing. All right. The next takana was that tonight was that you're allowed to use the back of behind somebody's fence to relieve yourself. Now, he said, truthfully, there's no chiddush in this. except for the fact that you're allowed to use a rock, which is what they used to use for cleaning themselves, even from the guy's fence. Chachista afilu b'Shabbat, and this is a whole sugya of Mukhan and of Muktzah, etc., dealt with in Shabbat. Marzutra chasida shakil umahadir. He used to take it and then put it back. Amar l'shamei zil sharkin. He would tell his servant to clean it off. All right, the next one is mahalchin b'shvilei harashut ad sh'tered revi'ah shniyah. You're allowed to walk in these paths until the second rain, or the time of the second rain. Papa v'haydi dan, for us in Bavel, afilu talkashila. Even once the dew has fallen, people walk on and it hurts the land. So here, we don't do it. Salkin l'tzideha drachim ne'yitidot ha'drachim. You're allowed to go to the side of the road if the middle of the road has these piles of dirt. Shmuel v'Rav Yehuda. There's a story of Shmuel and a student of Rav Yehuda. Avu shakli v'azli b'urcha. They're walking. Mistalik Shmuel l'tzideha drachim. Shmuel went to the side of the road. Rav Yehuda, t'na'in shitna Yoshua afilu Bavel. Why, these rules apply even in Bavel. We're allowed to do that here. Did everybody in Bavel agree to allow us to walk on their property if the road is hard to walk on? I claim that these conditions apply even in Chutz La'aretz. Now, whether Shmuel meant it about all the conditions or only about that one is unclear. Rabbi v'Rabbi Chia, here's a story in Eretz Yisrael. They're walking on the road. They both went to the side of the road. Now, this makes a very narrow passageway. There was this rabbi, Behuda ben Kenusa, somebody we've not heard of, who was walking in front of them. Who is this who's walking in front of us and showing as if he's greater than we, and should in the meantime should step back and let us pass? Maybe that's my Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa. They recognize him from the back. Everything he does is l'shem shemaim. So the notion here is that perhaps he was walking in front to clear the way for us. I mean, he didn't see us. He said we could trust that he's an observant person and that he would respect us. Kimatu legabe, when they caught up with him, chazie amar le ilav yudam kenusat gzartinu l'shakach ben gizra de parzala. So he said, Rabbi evidently said to him, if you weren't this Yudam and Kenusa that Rabbi Chia spoke highly of, I would have decreed on you to be tied up in iron. In other words, I would have put you in cherem. Okay, the next one is Hatoem ben Akramim. If somebody's lost between the vineyards, Mafsia v'yored, Mafsig v'oleh. He's allowed to, Mafsig v'yored, Mafsig v'oleh. He's allowed to cut the vines, Lafsig, to cut the vines to come out. Let's say you see somebody else in the vineyard, and he's lost. You can cut your way through to get to him to pull him out. Same thing if he himself is lost. That's the Tanai that we saw. Why are the two compared? Maybe when the guy on the outside sees him, he says, I know how to get him out. So maybe this guy who's inside doesn't know his way out. Maybe he can't cut anything because it won't necessarily have a benefit. He'll cut over here and then he'll have to turn and cut over there. Maybe you should have him just go to the outside boundary and walk around and find his way out. That he can also do it. This is a doraita for a person to be able to find his way when he's lost. Tanya, it's an interesting notion. Hashavat gufo minayin. How do we know that you're allowed to do whatever you can when you're lost to get yourself found? Talmud Omar v'hashev voto. In the mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda, it says, and you return him, meaning return yourself. So the answer is doraita hu dekai b'mitzri. Mi doraita, all you have the right to do is go out to the boundary and then find your way out. Atahu takin imafsig vola mafsig v'yored. Yeshua came along and was metakin that you could even cut your way out. In other words, the guy's vines are going to be cut, and nonetheless, you have a right to do that. Umein mitzvah kanam akolo, the number, the 11th one of the 10, again, we have to deal with that, is meit mitzvah. Umeini yamotze meit mutal b'isratia, if you find a mate lying on the road, faneo liyamini sratia o lismoli sratia, you take him to the right or to the left of the road. Stay bor, stay near, if you have a fallow field or an irrigated field, faneo li stay bor, you take him to the fallow field. Stay near, stay zera. If you find a furrowed field or a planted field, find out to stay near, you take him to the unplanted field. If both fields are the same, find out the makom shirtzei. You can go to either side. But all of that proves that a meit mitzvah lo kana makomo, because you have to move him. Habibi b'mutal al ha-meitzari. He said, yeah, that case is talking where the meit is lying widthwise across the road, right on the boundary. You have to move him. So the question is, which is the preferable place to move him? Okay, Amri Asara, but you said there were 10. Hani Chad Sari Havin, there was 11 here. The answer is Mahachim Shvili HaRashut, the 8th one, which is this notion of being able to walk through people's paths, Shlomo Omara. This actually postdates Yeshua, it goes to Shlomo. How do we know? Kedetanya Rei Shekalu Peirotav Min HaSadeh, when a guy is finished harvesting, but he says, still people can't come through the field. His field is a good shortcut, makes life easier for everybody, and he's already harvested the field, and he has no reason, but he still closes himself off. What do people say about him? What's this guy getting out of it? What's anybody hurting him? And it's referring to him that the quasi-pasuk, if you can be good, don't be bad, or don't be called bad, is said. That pasuk isn't written. So ink tivki agavno. We have a similar pasuk in Mishlei that goes to Shlomo. Al tivnatov mi ba'alav biyot el yadcha lasot. Don't keep good from its owners or from the possible beneficiaries when you have the power to do it. So therefore, since I have a field and my field provides a shortcut for people and it's not going to hurt anything because it hasn't yet rained or the harvest isn't ready or whatever, it's not going to hurt the field. Therefore, already harvested, then I should allow them through. All right, Vetuleika, so now we've got 10. The 11th one really was not Yehoshua, but Vetuleika, is that really all of the takanot of Yehoshua? Vayika, to Rabbi Yehuda, we have the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, Detan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'sha'at Hotza'at Zvalim, this we had earlier in the Masechet, when it's the season when people are putting their dung out, Adam Motzi Zivlo Yishut Rabim, you're allowed to put yours out into the public thoroughfare with Sovro Kosh Loshim. You can leave it there for 30 days. So that people and animals trampling it will tamp it down. Because Yeshua, when he gave people the land, he said that's one of the conditions. You got to be nice to each other and allow each other that favor. So there's another one. We have another statement in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. If you see that somebody else is, let's say, a beehive is getting lost or something else is happening, you're allowed to go into his field, take some of his wood in order to save it. Let's say it's falling out of the tree. And you can take a socha of his tree, meaning some branch of his tree, and use them to save them. to save your own beehive, and then you pay him for the tree. Remember, honey was far more valuable per amount by volume than wine. Let's say that you're walking and you see somebody else has a barrel of honey and a barrel is broken. And you have a barrel of wine, you can empty out your wine and save this guy's honey. And then when the fellow sells his honey, he has to pay you for the lost wine. You have the right to be proactive to save in that way. That you can cut down your own tree to help another fellow load his flax on the animal. And then you can charge him and say, the wood cost me this much. Why? That was one of the conditions. So we see that there are two statements, one from Rabbi Yehuda about the Zevel, and one from Rabbi Yehuda about you're putting out an expense in order to help the other fellow, and then turning around charging him. These were all time of Yehoshua. The answer is, we're not talking about statements attributed to individuals, we're talking about something that everybody agrees Yehoshua gave. Because, by the way, both of those statements are subject to dispute. We have Rav Yochanan saying, "Echad ilan hanotel atoch shdei chavero." If you have a tree that's leaning over somebody else's field, echad ilan hasamuch lemeitzara, a tree that's right on the border, nonetheless, these fruit are considered to be on your land so that you can bring bikurim from them and read and say, "Min hadamash natata li." Because when Yeshua gave the land, he said, trees that are really on the border are still considered yours, and therefore, you can do so. Now that one is not subject to Machloka Tanaim, it's a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's number 11. Elamantan Asara Tanaim Sheet Na Yoshua. So the answer is, who's the author of these Asara Tanaim? It can't be a Breita, alright? Because then how could Rabbi Yochanan come along afterwards and say, oh, there's an 11th? Rabbi Shimon Levi, who the answer is, it's a colleague of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon Levi, who by the way disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan about that last statement. So he said there's 10 that are unattributed statements that, in other words, they're stam, and everybody agrees with them. And Rabbi Yochanan comes along and disagrees with them and says there's 11. We had an explicit teaching. Remember, we had that earlier, but now we find out who is that Zaken Echad Umanu, Shuban Levi. Okay, we'll stop at this point. In the next piece, we're going to take a look at the 10 Takanot of Ezra, some very famous Takanot, and we'll take us to the end of the parak. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.